You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney. From smoked octopus to homegrown produce, there will be a lot on offer at the Food Festival and Farmers Market this Saturday at the Juno Arts and Culture Center. Joining us now, we have Laura Maiko, Arts and Programs Manager for the Juno Arts and Humanities Council. Hi, Laura.
Hi, it's good to be with you guys today.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. And along with Laura is Ed Bajarski, who is one of the vendors at this Saturday's market. Hi, Ed.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. So, Ed, let's start with you. We just heard this week's episode of Garden Talk. So my big question is, will you have any of those homegrown cucumbers and tomatoes at the sale this weekend?
Tomatoes, no. We're still able to eat all of them, so there's none to spare yet. Cucumbers, hopefully, yes. I just delivered some already. But there's going to be lots of other good and tasty stuff that we haven't really talked about that much yet that I'll be bringing down to the sale. Looking forward to it.
That's great. How did the first tomatoes of the season turn out?
Oh, they the first ones never made it in the house. And then otherwise it's been. And then a few are making more and more every night are making it to the house to be eaten or added to our salads. I mean, our salads are tremendous. But there's lots more tomatoes coming. They're looking good, though I have pinched off the top buds of the tomatoes and flowers so that the ones they have already set will ripen hopefully in September and maybe into October. Cucumbers are going good, and unfortunately our green beans are about done. The last of those because of the mildew issues. So, but there's lots of good stuff. We'll even have some apples at the sale and a few blackberries and more stuff.
I just want to say I was lucky enough to get one of those Manny cucumbers from you, pretty much fresh off the vine, and it was the best cucumber I've ever tasted.
And I will be growing more of those. They are have been so incredibly productive. Yeah, they're a crowd pleaser.
Well, for those who don't know Ed, could you tell us about Ed's Edibles?
My business, actually I got the name for my business from a book, which was by Robert Couric, Edible Landscaping. Thought, what a great deal. I read back in the mid-80s. And eventually we brought him, the author, to Juno for a garden conference, told him, handed him my card, told him he was my inspiration. And so I do want to teach people to grow food. I mean, lots of that. I do sell lots of primroses, which are on the edge of edibility. I sell poisonous stuff like delphiniums and monkshood and peonies too. But yeah, I do like to sell edible stuff. I try to do work on lawn reduction surgery, trying to talk people into growing food, getting rid of some lawn, put some fruit trees, some berry bushes into their yards, and, improve our lives.
Can you describe your farm, your garden, for those who maybe have never seen it before?
So, yeah, we're luckily out the road between Lena and Tea Harbor. So when we first searched for property when moving to Juno in 92, we wanted good garden space, sunshine. We looked in Douglas. Oh, my goodness. Enough said. Glad we didn't buy in Douglas. So I know some friends who are gardening very well in Douglas. And we found this spot out here. It was a lot of it was stump farm. That is the stumps, trees had been taken down and there were blueberry bushes growing, and there's now more blueberries since that we've trimmed and weeded around those. Gradually improved soil. We now have, in fact, just in the last 2-3 weeks, I've built 7 new garden boxes to add to our previous 50-some garden boxes and beds. And growing fruit trees, we planted fruit trees early on, some that we even moved with us from Sitka that we put in the ground here in Juno. We made 5 apple pies last night. So it is becoming more and more productive even as I get older and people ask me, are you going to retire? I don't don't know. I'm not going to stop gardening. Let's put it that way.
What would you say are some of your specialties?
Certainly, as far in the edible end of things, garlic is a favorite. Made some really spicy aioli the other night, which was quite memorable. Potatoes, we've grown a lot of different kinds of potatoes over many, many, many years. Great crop in southeast here. And certainly carrots and beets, peas, cabbages, cauliflower, broccoli. Brussels sprouts have become a new favorite since they last are quite durable, literally durable into, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and beyond. And kale, we've been growing kale forever since Sitka that I've been saving seeds from. And then on the other side of things, perennials, primroses particularly. And we're gradually getting into more and more stuff. And my wife is experimenting on different kinds of flowering shrubs like hydrangeas and irises. So I planted some fruit trees in there, apples especially. We picked some buckets of cherries this year. And going to try just about to plant a couple of plum trees for something new.
So you're really more of a generalist than a specialist.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, I am growing certainly for us. I mean, certainly when our kids were here, you know, we ate very well. Now our kids are down south, our children and grandchildren. And we take vegetables down to them to when we go to visit. So, yes. And then it's the surplus that gets sold, though I am definitely working at very diligently growing a surplus to sell. And right now I am growing crop number 9 of lettuce for this season. It's still in the house, just sprouted. I just planted crop number 8 into one of the hoop houses.
Oh, wow. Well, one of our next episodes of Garden Talk is probably going to be lettuce talk, so people can find out all about that. I know that you supply your family and your friends, but where else might we find your food around town?
So I do, I'm growing lots of lettuce. Let's see, today at the Red Spruce restaurant in the Forbidden Peaks Brewery in Auk Bay. And I take produce to Panhandle Produce also. We swap and trade produce, vegetables, fruits, and other assorted stuff all over town and share with friends a lot. So that's a great way to, share it. Sometimes it's a surprise for people because they haven't tasted. So even just fresh beets out of the garden that I have a friend just gave me a small jar of pickled beets that he made from my beets a couple of weeks ago. So we're always trying and sharing new stuff. The experiments are ongoing. I mean, this year, 6 or 8, 10 different kinds of lettuce, the usual 6 or 8 different kinds of garlic, and maybe that many potatoes. So lots of different kinds, different flavors, different textures. I like to cook. I mean, I do most of the cooking, and watching cooking shows gives me new ideas all the time. New combinations of spices and vegetables and such.
Wow. It must be very fulfilling to cook with the food that you grew yourself.
It is. And I have a root cellar so I can save. We are still eating some of last year's potatoes and carrots. And so that's a plus. I dislike buying those from the grocery store. So again, that gives us the freedom to have that. And, you know, there's times we've seen it certainly when the grocery stores are getting a bit low on some of their products.
Well, one thing I've learned from working with you on Garden Talk is that, you know, nobody really needs to buy lettuce. You can grow so much lettuce, unless it's wintertime. You know, you can grow in abundance just in a little flower box in your backyard. Or on your porch.
Very definitely. And even, you know, it's easy if you've got the space indoors. There's some great new lighting. I haven't even experimented to speak of with all the different new kinds of LED lighting much. I'm still using up the last of ancient fluorescent fixtures, which are no doubt not as efficient as they could be. But again, we grow, yeah, during the winter, we grow some of the microgreens from my own kale seeds. And usually we're doing pea shoots also, again, to add to, by that time it is store-bought salads, much I hate to say store-bought lettuce, but since I don't have a heated greenhouse. Mm. If I could clean out the space in my garage, I could set up a better growing environment out there and do more of that.
Well, thanks, Ed, for indulging in us in a little extended garden talk. And I know folks will be anxious to see what you have on offer at the food festival this weekend. So turning to Laura Maiko now. Hi, Laura.
Hey.
Hi. Would you like to share a little bit about the event?
Sure. Food Fest is an event that started many years ago by one of our old employees, Rachel Usler. She's an artist. And it has become a really big popular event for us each summer. We have a lot of people that bring their extra greens, their extra veggies in. And that's, I think, one of the big appeals for Gino is to get good fresh vegetables. I know sometimes it's hit or miss here in town at the grocery store. But we also have people that are doing baked goods, other type of food. We have a vendor bringing in freeze-dried candy. We also have some awesome tacos coming out on board. We have seaweed snacks. We have smoked octopus. We have all sorts of stuff, homemade pickles. And then we also have some artists coming and showing their stuff. I know Glow Ramirez is bringing a whole bunch of earrings that are food based. So little carrots and things like that will be really cute. We have Melissa Leanne Bakes. She's going to be bringing in some of her fancy macarons and also a few some of her cakes you can buy by the slice. Same thing with Paula Pies. Wow. And then we have some just other vendors that aren't food, but they're really great.
Is this an outdoor event?
Well, this is the great thing. We live in this post, you know, pandemic, endemic world. So we have, this is the first food fest where we have half of it inside, half of it outside. And that way people can, for both the vendors and the people coming to see the vendors, everyone can do something that feels comfortable for them. So if you do come into the Jack, we have about half of our vendors are in the Jack and they got to pick whether they wanted to be indoors or outdoors. And all we ask is that you wear a mask when you're inside the Jack and that we are not requiring vax card checks. It's just wear a mask. It's the polite thing to do right now. Mm-hmm. And then outside, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to wear a mask. You don't have to social distance. It's fresh air. I know it's going to be a little wet this weekend, but actually we have our best markets, our best attendance when it's wet out because Juno goes out on the mountains and in the water when it's nice out. So I expect to see all of you out there.
You heard her, folks. It was pouring rain. And despite that, the event, the turnout was still great. I'm sure you can expect the same. Do vendors sell out of some items pretty quickly?
Yeah, we have our produce vendors, like Ed is a great example, but a lot of our produce vendors, depending on like how big their crops were, and also because that's what people are really excited about is the fresh veggies, they will usually sell out by one. That is a typical, not always, some people still have some garlic hanging around, about one, but we will be there till two. And also this year we have an added bonus. We are having a beer garden and ice cream. So it's going to be to fundraise for arts education. And if anyone wants to know what a beer float tastes like, we are going to make that happen for you.
What's a beer float?
It's going to be a choice of your beer with a scoop of ice cream.
What are the beer choices?
I know we have some donated from a few breweries in town, so you're going to have to come out and see. Okay. But we have some good strawberry, vanilla, chocolate, the basics for ice cream.
Okay.
And you can get your beer without ice cream as well, by the way.
I assumed so. I think some beers would lend themselves to a float and others would not. I wouldn't want an IPA with ice cream, but maybe like a porter or a stout.
I don't want an IPA without ice cream, to be honest.
So we're on opposite sides of that war. Okay. Well, Ed, how about you, speaking from the experience of a vendor, what are some of the hot items that go the fastest?
Well, as Laura mentioned, the garlic is the hot item, I think. But anything fresh, anything. I mean, zucchinis, good grief, zucchinis go fast. You know, it's not like down south where you can't give away a zucchini. Up here, people desire them, want them. I mean, I've cheerfully gotten some from several people, even the UPS guy. So strange enough. But the fresh fruit, the fresh vegetables should all go fast. You know, I hate to say come early and all that sort of thing, because it is kind of a madhouse, kind of like the plant sale was last spring. But it's true, stuff does go. So people want, like garlic, was it big garlic for eating or garlic to save for planting later in the season? Certainly it will go. And, you know, I've seen, yeah, the baked goods. Now, the beer floats sounds rather interesting to me. I perhaps will try some of that with my garlic profits, and assuming they don't run out of that. It'll be different.
Well, I think we're all pretty excited about Food Fest, and that's happening this Saturday. It starts at 10 a.m. It will be at the JAC, the Juneau Arts and Culture Center. That's downtown. Laura, is there any other additional details that folks need to know about?
Just come out and support your artists and your growers and everybody out there. It's going to be a great time. And wear your boots and your rain jacket.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Laura and Ed, for being here today to talk about Food Fest. I think you've done a great job helping us all get excited about it.
See you on Saturday.
See you Saturday. Take care.